You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Welcome back to Shit Show, Jenny.
Thank you.
Jenny, I was just going through our first conversation.
When was it? I don't remember.
It was, I think it was October 2024. And So I will tell you where things were at that point because I wanted to see where things were. Okay. Yeah. So at that point, you were semi-separated with John. He wasn't living at your house. He could see your son when he used breathalyzer. No overnight visits. He had gone to treatment in May. And then when he got out, he refused to do outpatient. And then you set the ultimatum that if he wasn't in recovery by the summer, that you were going to... Well, it honestly sounded like at the time that you were thinking about moving out, but he ended up moving out. And the one other thing that I was like looking to see was, I was wondering if I had asked you anything about like divorce or like what you were working towards. And so you didn't say anything about divorce. You didn't say anything about reconciliation. You were really just in a place where you were like not trying to force an outcome. And you were just like letting things play out, which I think is really healthy and hard. And you were just sticking to your boundaries, taking it a day at a time, focusing on your healing and being a mom. So that was a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Wow. So lots of updates in the past year and a half. And yeah, even before this conversation, I was like, let me try to reflect and write some notes. And, you know, my notes look just totally like crazy. This is me trying to like organize what's in my head because it's all over the place. You know, I think picking up from a year and a half ago that I was still, I think right after that was my first contact with a divorce lawyer just to have a conversation. But I was still really trying to see if I could make that relationship work. And he did go back to treatment February 25 and left early. And
how long was he there?
3 weeks, like a 4 week program.
And did I remember, I vaguely remember you talking about the like maybe the sessions that you had together there.
Yeah. So the same as the first time around, it was like a different place, but they do like family sessions and they don't really do it in person at most places anymore. So it was on Zoom. And that's kind of what led him to leave. The conversation was, what does it look like when you come home? And I think the therapist was good from this place of not kind of taking sides. It was just like allowing a conversation to happen. And I remember really like trying to reflect and think, and I had said, I'm just not sure if I want you to move in right back into the house after you're out. I just need to see a little bit more like action on your end outside of rehab. And he kind of said his side that it was like going to be much better for him to be in home and all of these things. And the therapist kind of said, okay, let's leave the conversation here and we'll revisit it. And I remember even thinking to myself, you know what? Like, what do I have to lose? I was trying to look at all sides of it. And there was this moment of thinking, hey, you know, maybe I'll give it a chance to let him like move in. Like we had both kind of said what we were feeling and I would really want to take into consideration what he was feeling. And one of the things I said was my hesitation is I don't know if it was just him saying it to get what he wanted. And basically it was, I couldn't call him. He could only call me. So if I missed the call, I couldn't
you missed the call.
Get in contact
yeah,
with him. So I had missed the call like the day after that conversation, that Zoom. And then he basically had left. He tried to call me and then left. And he said it was because of that conversation that I was not going to let him like move right back in. And I could put my body like in finding out that he had left early. You know, it's like with the adult child stuff and everything, it's these like emotional flashbacks or like just something taking over my body where it feels like a flame and just totally like out of control and crying. Like I felt like an out of control, like kid again. I just remember being like so afraid and hurt and upset. And my emotions just felt like massive and huge and out of control. Yeah, I can put myself like right back there and how horrible that felt. And I think right after that too, I still really wasn't ready to like to divorce. And I was it takes what it takes. And I think I was still trying to like figure it out. And we had maybe right before that we had been doing couples therapy. And you know, right, if I take myself back there, I was still trying to like think of a way, something I could say to him to get through to him, for him to hear me. And you know, I think that was an obsession. I was obsessed with that. And so right in the beginning of 2025, my grandfather had passed away. And then right a couple months after he had left rehab, my dad passed away. So just about a year ago now. And I think for some reason that those like things happening, it like pushed me to feel like I could file for divorce. Like there was just some kind of last straw, just the way that he was acting when I was going through these really hard things. It was almost a year. It will be a year next week that I filed for divorce. And when I think about that and some of my hesitation to file was an acknowledgement that I was repeating my own childhood and that I was in the same place as my mom and that things were as bad as they were. And I think I was trying so hard to like not let history repeat itself. And there was tons of shame and embarrassment that I was in this situation. And I just think like divorce before I filed felt like really like a failure. Yeah, it felt like a failure. So leading up to that point, and I don't really know what the connection was with like my dad passing and then feeling like it could, but I think there's something there. I think that denial was such like a hallmark of so many things I was going through. And I think the huge turning point was like seeing reality, was like actually looking at reality, like not turning my head. And when I could see it, like accepting the reality of the situation.
When you filed, where were you like mentally and physically? Like, was there a calm and an ease at that point? Or did you feel like you were firm and resolute in your decision?
I felt really firm and resolute. And so I guess what had happened right before I decided to file, where I felt like, okay, this is the day. Because I think it was something that happened on the weekend. And then it was that Monday, was that I had just gone to like my dad's house, where my stepmom was. I was on a trip with my son. So yeah, I guess that was the first time we had seen her. So I was going through some of his things. So, you know, that was a big trip. And when my ex wasn't living with us, but when we went out of town, we were still married. We still are sharing the same lease. He would stay at our apartment. And when I got back from the trip, he thought we were coming home a day later. Anyway, I had come home and like the house was trashed and he had been like smoking cigarettes and I have asthma and like very sensitive to it. Basically, like the place was just trashed. And I was just like, I don't know, that was like the final straw where I just felt like, all right, I'm filing tomorrow. I'm done. I'm hiring a lawyer. Like, so it was just kind of a funny thing where I think tons of thought and work went towards that moment. But then the day, that week, like, yeah, I felt peaceful. Like I felt like so firm, resolute. Like I just felt like, yeah, this is it. Like, I am done. Because I think it was just felt like, it was just really disrespectful. And it was just like that last like straw that broke the camel's back of like all of these ways that he had been disrespectful. And then he kind of said, every time you've gone out of town, I smoke in the house. And I'm like, that doesn't make it better. But that just shows me, like, well, that's the person you are. So that was like accepting that reality that that's this person, that's where they are. They're deep in their addiction. They're sick. They're unwell. I accept this reality. So I think then I felt I had like no regrets at all. And that's why I think I had to get to that point. Like it couldn't have been January. It couldn't have been in the mm-hmm. fall. Like I had to get to a certain point. Yeah. And I think like even just looking back on our relationship in the past year, right, at that point, you know, then we had been separated, but we're still married. But it's like, okay, we're moving towards divorce. There was so much work that I put into like figuring out how to navigate this. Like, mm-hmm. I think even up until, I think I'm in a really great place right now, but I could even think up until like this past February where I was still trying to control the situation. And it's just really interesting that I've made like so much progress and steps, but there was so many little ways that I had to untangle and just pay attention to where I was still trying to control a situation.
How did he respond when you filed?
He, I think, was like, oh, that's really disappointing, but kind of took it okay. Yeah. And then we were able to like within a month or two just negotiate and have good conversations. So in the beginning, everything kind of went like it was really pretty straightforward and nothing contentious. But I think once we were getting closer to like a settlement or something at the end of the summer, that's when he kind of started like pulling back. And at that point, my lawyers are like, okay, well, we'll have to prepare to go to court. So
like, he just wasn't like, when you say pulling back, like he just wasn't like being responsive, you mean?
Basically things we had agreed upon. He just started saying, well, let's change this. Let's change that. And so I was kind of, I'll negotiate on this. I'll negotiate on that. You know, in the end, it was a lot of stuff about just like breathalyzing around our son where he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And my lawyer's like, well, we'll have to like prepare to go to court if we can't negotiate. And at the time, and I don't even know, a few months after, I don't feel as much as like anger and resentment, but it's so expensive. Lawyers are mm-hmm. so expensive. And you know, today I feel like super happy about the money spent for like protecting myself and my son. But right around that time, yeah, it's just like, I had to then go through all of our old text messages. I mean, I'm just thinking back to last August was horrible. Cause I think all my extra time was just spent reliving the trauma mm-hmm. and just downloading these messages. And I'm like, I didn't want to do this. It was horrible. Yeah. And I'm so excited because I'm like, this summer, I don't have to download text messages and I don't have to like relive all that. But it was really hard. It's really hard. And yeah, that kind of like was going on through the fall until I think right before Thanksgiving that we were ready to file in court. And then he said, okay, you know, I'll sign. But yeah, I think in that period of time, like it was just a lot of basically what like I was facing with someone who was at a moment I want to try to reason with this person and say like mm-hmm. hey, well, what do you want, what's going on? And then I had to let go. I'm not mm-hmm. dealing with a reasonable person, like I mm-hmm. can't reason with them. But it was just a really, really hard because I think at every moment he was trying to like push my boundaries and push my limits. And I think I felt really frustrated because we were in the process. And a lot of people would, I'm like, I can't wait to like be divorced, have the paper signed. And some people would say, well, you know, it's divorce isn't going to like change him, or it's not going to change everything, or it's not going to solve all your problems. But once everything was like signed and solved, then I just had a document that I didn't have to like engage. Like I was still engaging with a lot of like argument and fighting and reasoning and trying to get this person to see my side. Once everything was signed, mm-hmm. I was able to really let go mm-hmm. and not engage. I could just say, well, that's what the document says, or just point to that. And I think, you know, that's when like, I think maybe last February was the last time I really, really engaged with him, which was,
yeah, what was that after. About?
I think it was,
you mean a couple months ago?
Yeah, a couple months ago. It was, I remember we were in the car together, which, you know, something else I realized was that, oh, I had set up my life to kind of just not be around him, or like to minimize time that we're like in the same room or together. But I was giving him a ride home from somewhere. And, you know, I think I just had that moment of like, what are you doing? Get it together. Like, be there for your son. Because that's one of the really hard parts. One of the last parts of me letting go was watching the effect it has on our son and watching that pain. So for me, it's like a lot of parts of our relationship, I'm able to kind of let it go, let him live as he wants to live and not be involved. But I think just watching the effect it had on our son. So yeah, that conversation was kind of me begging, pleading, just say like, what are you doing? That this is hurting him, and get it together. And then I felt almost like a hangover afterward. That like emotional hangover. And it was just interesting because I'm like, okay, well, what happened there? Because I think for me, yeah, I'm like, if I can look back, I think a lot of it is just like a curiosity and openness to just see when things happen instead of beating myself up. Or like, yeah, part of me was like beating myself up for like giving him a ride home, engaging with him. I'm like, okay, well, one of the things I need to do is just have like space and just not be in the same place as him as much as I can. But it was like almost like scratching an itch that was like, oh, I just want to beg and plead. And you know, that's what I was doing for years. That's what I was doing for our whole marriage, was trying, was putting so much energy into like trying to get him to see something.
Trying to save him. Yeah, I remember having a moment with that, with my mom. Like, I remember being in the car and like just like yelling at her, like, you know, like about her drinking, and it, same thing, like a get it together kind of moment, and just like hanging up the phone and just feeling like so shitty, you know, and just like the realization of like this does absolutely nothing and accomplishes absolutely nothing and just makes me feel like shit.
100%.
But it's like, so you can't, I mean, you're gonna slip into it every once in a while. It's unreasonable to think that, like, you know, that it won't happen sometimes.
Yeah, and I love that I have that ability to like give myself that like grace and leeway to say like, hey, you know what? I did it. That's okay. I'm not perfect.
What were the boundaries that, like, what was agreed upon regarding, like visitations and stuff with your son, like from in the divorce agreement.
That basically he needs to be sober and supervised, and he can work towards kind of having restrictions lifted with like continuous sobriety, but he hasn't like been working towards that. So generally it's just that it would be supervised and sober.
And then supervised by whom?
Someone that he presents to me that I agree on. So whether it be like his family, so he can present anyone to me, and I would just say like yes or no. So it's typically been like family and friends, or like kind of friend babysitter. But that's the thing, I think when that was all happening, I especially it was like the we had signed right before the holidays, so we had the holidays. But in January, I was like, okay, you know, I still was like falling into this role of trying to like take care of things for him, or say, okay, well, there's this person and here's that person. Okay, let me know by this time. All right, well, these are your days and these are my days. And I had a therapist suggest to me, well, why are you doing that? And I'm like, I have to, because I signed this document. And it was a really interesting question posed of like, why am I operating in this way of still trying to like it. She was like, you're still in the same dynamic that you were before by you trying to like sh help him and show him how to do it and really lay it out for him. So what does it look like for you to step away from that dynamic? So that was really interesting and like really freeing, that I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna like live my life and do what I need to do with my son and our family, what we're going to do during the week and the weekends and vacations. If there's a point where he comes to me and says, hey, I looked at the schedule and this is my weekend and I get this vacation time and I get all these things, wonderful. But if he's not kind of coming to me to like set things up, I'm not going to say, you need to set this up. I'm just going to like pull back. So that was like a huge, huge change and brought me so much peace to not be constantly engaging and then disappointed and then frustrated.
What was it agreed upon as far as how frequently he would see your son?
2 to 3 times a week and every other weekend, but it probably happened maybe every 3 weeks.
Had there been any circumstances, like situations where like your son is expecting that he's going to see his dad and then it falls through?
Happens all the time.
Yeah. And then it's like, at what point is it too harmful, like the damage of that, right? Because it's like, you can try to explain it, but how is there not a part of him that will feel like it's because of him?
And I think that is what, I think that this year, the first part of this year was me wrestling with that idea and trying to protect my son, like from the situation and the pain and trying to control someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the abandonment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that was like a guilt, a feeling that I need to like protect him from this and he can't go through this. And so I have this like moment, which again, I felt was like a big turning point, which maybe like in February or March, and it was like at the end of a yoga class and I was laying there and I was thinking of my dad and I was thinking I was a child and me being this like wonderful, innocent, you know, beautiful child didn't stop him or his addiction or make him want to change mm-hmm. his addiction. I'm like, and that is my son's experience too. I'm thinking of how wonderful my son is and all of that, like, you know, the innocence and wonderfulness of a child isn't stopping my husband's mm-hmm. addiction. I'm like, oh, and this is like the world, this is generations of this. Mm-hmm. And I kind of almost like was able to like really feel like how sad and heartbreaking that was and like let my heart ache for like little me and for my son, but then mm-hmm. also be like, but I can't change that. And I just mm-hmm. accept it. And that's like, I think that I was for so long trying to stop the inevitable and like stop the pain that I had as a child from going to my son. And it was like really, really releasing any little bit of parts that I was still trying to control, like in terms of like changing my husband or making him show up for our son. So I think it's been really freeing to just focus on what I can control in that situation. So I do think a lot of things I still like am working on and trying to figure out is what the conversations look like. And I try to like approach my son and nothing's off the table to discuss, that I want to be truthful with him in age appropriate ways. But the conversations are really hard. And sometimes I don't know what to say, or I don't know the answer. You know, we say just yesterday, he had kind of said something like, oh, you don't let me see daddy. And I was just trying to think of like, oh, okay. Like, how do I have this conversation? I'm like, he's sick and he's really sick. And that makes it him unable, you know, to like show up.
How old is he?
It is really hard. And I think all the time also because he's growing and we're having these conversations, there's a lot of times I just don't know the right thing to say. But I think I'm just trying to be like, not create a world where he feels like things are off limits or mm-hmm. that certain things like upset me too much to talk about, just to try to be really as honest as I can and like open up the conversation and also not force the conversation, like leave it open where he feels comfortable coming and asking me things. But
How have you been handling it now, like as far as letting him know when he could potentially see his dad?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of been a strange thing to navigate. Basically, mm-hmm. there hasn't been so many missed plans lately, just more that he doesn't make plans, that mm-hmm. he doesn't make plans with him for like mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks at a time, which yeah, that like bothers me so much because I'm like, can you just make a consistent plan? Can you just make a consistent plan to see him once a week, once a month? But I also felt like I had to let go of that because that's, again, trying to like control like what he would do or show him away. So it's mainly that it just weeks go by at a time where we just don't hear from him and he doesn't see. So I'll have conversations like, and I think I've seen him have a hard time and And then he's like, yeah, I wish my dad could take me to school, or I miss him. And I'm like, yeah, no, that makes sense that you miss him. That's hard. But just trying to like validate
How he's feeling.
those feelings. Yeah.
You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
So what is he doing? Like, where does he live? Does he have a job?
He's still working and he lives really close to us now, like a block away, which I think is another level that's hard that he lives really close, but you never see him. And that's the other part too, where I think it's like I could get sucked into old ways of what I was doing before. I think last year and up until recently was still really accommodating him to make it easy for him to see him, because I'm like, I want them to have a relationship and I know it's important to him. I think it's been a lot of me just like stepping back, knowing that he has all of the like paths and resources and that I'm open and that I'm willing to work on things, but he has to like meet me halfway. So it's been the newest thing I think has been like just stopping to try to like accommodate so that my son can have a relationship with him. I'm not accommodating anymore with someone who's like doing nothing. Like he has everything that he needs to like set up a visit. Like I'm not stopping it. So it's like just knowing that within myself and being confident with that.
It's like so infuriating. And then it's also at the same time, like, good Lord, it is just such a horrible disease.
And that's where, you know, I think that even how I feel about him is that I'm always like wishing the best for him. And that I hope that, you know, I hope that he'll find some kind of recovery, but I also accept that he may never, and that I'll be like rooting for him, but that it doesn't mean I'll accept bad behavior and I'll, you know, I've removed access to myself from him.
Yeah, it's tragic.
Yeah.
So what has the divorce, like what's come to the surface for you? Has there been insights that you've had about yourself or like aspects of growth now that this isn't so consuming?
I think in facing the relationship with my ex, that it also highlighted many other parts of my life, whether it be work or friendship or different things. And so I think that in working on, you know, the codependency and issues there, that kind of like spread out to the rest of my life and, you know, affected it in positive ways, which is great. And I think that I am officially divorced. Yes. Like, I don't know if that was super clear in January 2026. And I think if I look back on the past year, a lot of my time was just spent on like getting through to the other side. And one of my wishes for years and years was like peace. And I really am feeling that peace in my life now. And I think like right now, it's like I'm still trying to find some kind of balance for like showing up for myself, showing up for my son, and like working, making a living. And there's just like a lot more space in my life now that like I'm not in the midst of kind of putting all my energy into another person and the divorce process. So I feel like really happy and optimistic. And I think that, you know, in thinking about a lot of things like with recovery, and like working on myself, I feel like really good. But I think there's like a fear in me that am I going to fit into old habits or go back into old ways? But I think that I'm like feeling this like optimism for that. There is still a lot of more things to like work on and discover, but I don't need to be like living in like doom and gloom. Like I can enjoy life and I can enjoy like the peace that I generally feel, and that I still have a lot more work to do. And that's exciting. And I think that there is like, I, over the past 2 years, one of the big symptoms of, why I was like, found your podcast and was like connecting with it was like even just like my anger. Like I was having these like tons of anger just in that relationship. And I think it was a messenger to me that something needed to change. Like it was so huge, so big. The last time that showed up was when I was a teenager. And so I can see a lot of like connections there. And I think there is some amount of like fear of like, is that anger still lurking or is it going to show up again? How will it show up? Have I dealt with it? I think I still have like a lot more questions, but I think I'm trying to approach it with like one day at a time and progress, not perfection, and like continuing to like work on things, but not just work, enjoy life too. Yeah.
What
But
about
no.
now when you get a text or you get like a call? Have you noticed just like a total difference in the way your body reacts?
Much. Totally. It's huge. And it's actually interesting now because I mentioned taking away access. I've kind of put a lot of boundaries in place, like where I won't discuss this, I won't talk on the phone, this needs to go through this channel. And so, yeah, that's like a huge help. And I think I've even, so he'll just like call sometimes. And now I'm like, I just don't answer the phone. And then I say, what is this about? And I think that helps because I think before I'd be like, ooh, I'm going to answer the phone. What kind of chaos is this going to happen? Like there was something that I kind
Of
of liked, or I don't,
course.
it's like, ooh. And
It's
now I'm like
all we
proud of
know. It's
myself.
what we
I
know.
know
It's our
it's,
first drug
yeah,
of choice.
so much. So that's where I'm like, I'm proud of myself because now I just don't pick up the phone and I say, what is this about? What is this regarding? And I just don't engage. And I think the other part that's really interesting and I've like noticed change is that just because we don't really like talk and we're not in contact or in touch, sometimes I hear from other people about what's going on with him and how he's doing. And, not well, not doing well. And I think before when I would hear that directly from him or other people, it felt like we were like tied together so that if he was having chaos, I was having chaos or I would feel some of it. So no, I feel like I'm not tied to him in that way. And I can just look at what's happening with like distance and objectivity, where before it would, yeah, totally activate my nervous system. I would feel like so much. I would feel sad. I would feel bad. I would feel pity. And it would just really kind of affect me internally. And yeah, I feel like I just got some news last night or just kind of what was going on with him. And I just felt very like not emotionally moved by it. I'm like, cool. That's
And
awesome.
probably like the need to know has probably turned down, right?
It's turned down so much.
And then also too, like, and it sounds like you've gotten there too, where it's like you get to a place where you know how to handle it. Like, you know how to communicate, you know, to send as little as possible. You know, it's like you don't, I mean, and obviously, like I said, sometimes we can like slip back in, but like where you just know how to navigate it, you don't have to write like two paragraphs and then have your therapist tell you like, no, this needs to be two sentences. Like, you know, you get to a place where you feel like you can handle it, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, I feel like I can handle it. I was thinking about something else too, about like, oh, this just needs to be two sentences. And I think the last time was around like I think February again, where I was also in like a texting back and forth, where we were just texting back and forth, and I couldn't stop myself from sending these paragraphs and really engaging. And I was thinking about like that now we don't text or it's like just really short sentences. And I'm like, that gives me so much more time in my life because I think of the times that I'm like in the kitchen with my son or like trying to make dinner and that I'm like in my phone and like angry texting and that energy is like he's picking up on that. He's feeling that. And I'm like, that's wonderful that I get that time back in my life where I'm not like just And it's such a strong pull. Yeah, absolutely. Like drug of choice, that back and forth engagement. And
Yeah, you just get so consumed with it. And sometimes you just can't help yourself, you know? Like I had a moment with, it was probably like over a year ago, I think with my mom, but it's just like, and then I was able to see it, you know, and I couldn't really stop myself, but yeah. Oh, and you're just like, it can consume days.
days, like putting it through ChatGPT sometimes. They're like, okay, that tone. I'm like, but yeah, I think I'm proud because I'm like, I think the last time I'm gonna say is like February. And that's growth.
So when in our last conversation, I was looking to see specifically like where you were at with your dad since I knew that he passed. So I don't know if it was his birthday or what, but you had a trip planned down there and you wanted to cancel because you just had way too much going on. I think you ended up canceling it, right?
I mean, that was like a really crazy time because I had a bunch going on. I had just had surgery, but then he ended up going into the hospital right then. So everything kind of had to be canceled because of him, because of me. And then he had never, yeah, that fall 2024 was, he hadn't like left the hospital until he passed April 25.
I didn't
But
realize
I was
that.
able to go down and see, but so then we were able to go see him like a month before. I actually know I saw him twice. Like I went and drove and saw him twice, like once, like the holidays in December and then once in March. But I just feel like that really kicked off. Like there was so much happening in the past year. And I'm like looking forward to this summer because it feels like there's just less happening. Like I
Space,
broke
you
my
can
shoulder
breathe.
last summer. Yeah, I'm like, okay, maybe I can kind of just enjoy life a little more. I think one of the things I kept on just saying to myself was like, this is a season of life. This is the season I'm in, and the things I'm doing, they're really important. They're temporary, and I'm just gonna like keep on putting one foot in front of the other. And things got better. And I think the other thing is that the way I feel is even if things bad things just happen in life all the time. I just feel much more equipped to handle them.
Did your dad's passing bring anything up for you, or did you have any moments of note that you were able to have with him before he passed?
I think being able to visit him was really nice and I enjoyed just like spending the time. I don't think there was anything like, oh, these like big, I don't know.
Conversations.
It was just kind of like accepting what was and accepting the relationship for what it was. And I was just really happy to be there with him, my sister, and my son, like a month before he did pass. So I'm happy I had that time. And it is interesting because I think that was a year ago. And then the divorce was a year ago. I was going through a divorce. I think there is some amount of that I was just had like a million things on my plate that I think a lot of that grief is delayed or like things that I think there's going to be things that are going to start coming up once there's more space. I just don't think there was any space for a lot of reflection or like feeling or grief in regards to that. And I'm like, and that's okay.
So what would you have to say to, because I'm sure there were points in your marriage where you didn't see a way out. There were probably times where you felt you wouldn't be able to survive the relationship ending. What do you want to say to somebody who might be in that position now? Who's in a relationship, they know that they know that this ain't it, but they're not in a place yet where they're ready to take action.
There was someone who had suggested to me to check out like an adult child of alcoholics meeting. And then I remember going to a meeting and then finding your podcast, like Googling it. And I think after that suggestion, for me, it was like almost the advice I gave myself was, okay, all of these other things I've tried aren't working. Maybe it's time to turn to myself and just focus on myself. And I don't know what that's going to bring or happen, but focusing on someone else and their problems isn't getting me anywhere. So I'm just going to take this time to try something different that feels really outside of what I know and what's comfortable and turn to myself. And like focus on yourself. And I guess sometimes we're like, oh, that sounds selfish, but it's like, get to know myself. Like, I loved like thinking about other people and their mental illnesses and how I could help them. But it's like, why don't I focus on my own, you know, think about my own issues and how they're affecting me and where I am. And I think that advice to myself at that time felt like that doesn't make any sense. And that's just weird and wrong, but I'm going to try something different.
Hmm. Yeah. It's like letting things unfold. It's more will be revealed. You know, you can't force any of this. It takes what it takes.
Yeah. And I like to go fast and I like to see results and I like things to happen. And it was trying something different. I'm like, I'm going to try to go slow and not control the future or push things. I think a lot of things, it's like, yeah, try something different that is like outside of your usual nature and see what happens, even if it's something small.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so damn proud of you. You really have handled this all with like such grace and vulnerability. And your son is like so lucky to call you mom. I hope you're really proud of yourself.
Yeah, it's good to take the time to reflect and acknowledge that. And I think it can be a little uncomfortable too, but it's good.
It is not for the weak. Was there anything else that you wanted to chat about that you didn't have an opportunity to share?
I think too, just like as a single mom now, like I'm just trying to like ask for help.
Mm.
And that's like,
what does that look like?
I think I was like comfortable asking my family, like my immediate family for help, but it's like asking my friends, asking my neighbors and like taking people up on that kind of help, because I think that like hyper independence mm-hmm. is like, you know, from childhood protection mechanism. So I think it's like really looking at that and yeah, like asking, yeah, mainly like help with my son and not trying to do it all.
Yeah. And like taking time for yourself. It's yeah, like that helps you be a better like, mom, you know?
And I was thinking like, I think that's like modeling to him that it's like important to take time for yourself. And I think I'm trying to not approach parenthood with perfection, but just mm-hmm. with this ability to like repair and be like open, curious, and also like model that it's like important to like do things for yourself. And I think even when there's pushback from my son, you know, it's not as if like everything he'll be happy, but it's that I need to work, that I'll do things with my friends, I do things for myself, and but also trying to show up for him and not perfectly. I think that's important to model to him.
Yeah, right? They say like so much value comes in through the repair. Well, thanks, girly.
Thank you.
Great. I can't wait to have our next checkup.
I know.
Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let it.